All the best people are.
Oh, dear me. Life is interesting, isn't it? I was very interested in the scripture that you had up. I mentioned last week that at one stage I studied every religion in the world that I could find. And almost everyone, every religion has a similar statement, but they're all negative as opposed to positive. So Jesus said, do to others what you'd want them to do to you. All the others say, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. So their defense of this is taking a proactive stance. Do the good, don't just avoid doing the bad. Interesting, isn't it? Well, I mentioned last week that what I want to share today was sort of instrumental or foundational for discipleship. And I have to warn you, one of my lecturers many, many years ago said to me, Warren, you go to too many scriptures. Well, I thought that was a pretty good problem to have. But quite often, rather than just looking at one verse, which I like doing as well, but quite often I will go all over the Bible just to demonstrate that this is a principle throughout the whole of Scripture. So today is one of those days. All right? Have you noticed that the Lord often doesn't do what you expect him to do? And sometimes he does things that you simply didn't expect at all and catches you by surprise. Or sometimes you're like Gideon, who prays for someone to come along and right a wrong. Then the angel of the Lord turns up and says, you're it. You're the one. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And we're not sending you. And we'd really prefer to have somebody else take the dangerous position, you see. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be second in command. Because that way you have a degree of authority. Yeah, that's good. And you can do the ministry. But somebody else carries all the responsibility. Since I was like 15, the Lord's never let me get away with that. He just doesn't do what I want him to do. And doesn't matter how many times I tell him what I want, he just ignores me completely. Anyone else had that experience? Yeah. There might be a good reason for that. Well, I also think about the disciples who came to Jesus one day. There's a huge crowd. There's 5,000 men plus women and children. And they came to him and said, Lord, the people are hungry. There's no food around here. You need to send them away. You remember what the Lord said to them? They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, we know that that was immediately followed by one of those incredible miracles of provision. Remember the bread and the fish? I am absolutely certain the disciples had no idea that's what was going to happen. I can imagine them all sitting there thinking, okay, we've got 2 loaves of bread. Let's break it up into little tiny pieces. Everyone can have a little speck, and I'm sure that will fill them up. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But he didn't do what they wanted him to do or expected him to do. He put the pressure back on them. And when they didn't know what to do and they returned him, we don't know what to do here, then he performed the miracle and they learnt it well. They were supposed to have learnt a lesson. He actually did a miracle of provision twice and they still didn't learn. So, I mean, I relate to those guys. I can understand that. He always provides what's necessary, but his response is almost invariably not what we expect or when we expect it. And I've often prayed, Lord, I know that you hear my prayer. I know that you see what's going on. I know that you're the great provider. But can you please provide it before the last second? Because I get really tense. It's lack of faith. But he doesn't. He waits to the last minute every single time. Now, some of you may know for 10 or a little over 10 years, I was the principal of Tabor College. And at one stage, the financial situation was so serious that I called all the staff together and said, we can't go on. We'll be trading while insolvent. That's illegal. So we're going to have to close. So we let the students know we're praying this afternoon, but it looks like we might have to close. We had a meeting. We made a formal decision. We had the board in. We agreed we have to close. So I thought the last thing I'll do is ring the three pastors in Perth who invited Table to come to Perth in the first place. That seemed to be the nice thing to do. So I rang all three. None of them were in their office. I left a message with someone else. And like half an hour before we're supposed to close the doors, one of them rang back and said, whatever you do, don't close, I'm coming. Well, suffice it to say, the college is still here. Half an hour. In my head, it was finished. The Lord had a better plan. But I just wish he'd told me about a month before that. So then I could look like the great man of faith and power, you know? And look confident when I didn't feel it at all. And sometimes you're in a situation and you expect the Lord to be there, because didn't he say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And we sang that beautiful song that his love will never run out. He's there with us, but we can't see him. There's no sense of his presence. And it's like, I mean, where are you? We pray the prayer of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you're turning their hearts back again. Answer me for your sake. There's a little bit of bribery there, you see. Or we look for evidence of his presence, or the fact that he's even attentive to our situation. We don't find anything. And we cry out like the sons of Korah in Psalm 44. Awake, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Now, he's not asleep. He doesn't need to sleep, strangely enough. He doesn't need to be roused from slumber. He hasn't rejected us, not only not forever, but hasn't rejected us at all. But that's how we feel. We know his promises. But the scripture says time and time again we have to walk by faith. And I don't know about you, I would much rather walk by sight. Yeah? I read a female theologian once who said that walking by faith is like stepping out into nothingness with your eyes closed. You ever tried that? You know, walk downstairs at night and the last stair you think is about twice as far as you it really is, and when your foot hits the ground everything jars. You know, and you just to trust. You know, trust me. I had to tell a church once, I'm really sorry, I have misled you for several years now, because I've always said, as a motto of life, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And that's faith. And I had to say to them, I'm wrong. That is not faith. Faith says when you get to the end of your rope, let go. Well, how about you? Letting go is not an easy thing to do. It's downright hard. And we know it's faith. We know he's a faithful God. We've got no doubt about the theology of it. It's just the practice of it that we find difficult. Let's pray. Father, as we go further into the scriptures, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, to every one of us in our own particular and individual areas of need. I pray that this time we get together, Lord, we'll leave this place having been changed by your presence. We surrender to you. And in our weakness, in our lack of faith, we say, as did the man in the scripture, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. We claim this in your name.
and for your sake, but also for our sake, so that we can walk by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sometimes he's not where we expect him to be. Well, let me read what I wrote down, because I think it's quite poetic. Right? Of course, he does know and care. But at the time, you would have been grateful for an audible voice, a prophetic utterance, or even a rainbow on a cloudless day. That's my poetry. Yeah? He delivers you. He meets your needs, but not in the manner, at the place, in the time that you expect. And that's the challenge of discipleship. This is the God who will not be put in a box. My wife tells me I'm predictable. And I know I am. I'm a creature of habit. I get up at the same time. I do things in the same order. Right? When I'm shaving, I always start on this side. Always. If I try to start on this side, it's like the world's wrong. There's something. I'm very ordered. My kids, my girls used to come in to my office, my study. And I have everything in its place. If I have pens, they're in the exact same spot all the time. You know what I'm talking about? It's called obsessive compulsive disorder, I think. And I'd have it all neat and tidy. My girls would come in. One of them would just sit on the corner of the desk and take one of my pens and move it. And then count to see how long it took me to put it back again. I am predictable. I know that. I told my wife, I tried to be, what's the opposite of predictable? Spontaneous, thank you. See, I am not so spontaneous. I can't even remember the word. But I told her at one stage I was going to really work hard at it. I will try and be spontaneous every second Wednesday. But you know, the Lord is not predictable. Religion wants him to be. Religion is when God does something in a certain order, so we anticipate that next time he'll do it exactly the same way. So we set up the circumstances, sort of feeling like he's got to answer now because we've said the magic words. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be put in a box. He's not going to be controlled by us. That's not his nature. He's Lord. We are not. So the disciples found that really difficult, because he didn't do things.